Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let us focus on what? God's love for us, just as Jesus Christ focused on it. And he prayed it, that Lord, the way you love me, let the same thing, let the world know that you love them in the same way. Because to him, that is a solution to people moving away from the world, from the devil, and dedicating their lives unto God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Can we all say perfect love? You know, perfect love is God's love. God's love is perfect love. So this perfect love is talking about what? God's love for us. He loves us with perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear, you know. It casts out fear so that what? We become bold in the presence of God. Look at the scripture again. Why is it that God's love, focusing on God's love, is important for our lives? Why is it important? It is important so that we will be bold believers. We will be bold believers. Anybody who knows that God loves him is a very bold person. Anybody who knows that the parents loves him or her becomes very bold. That's how it is. So look at it. Love has been perfected among us in this. In other words, love has been exhibited to us in this manner. What is the manner? The manner is that God has made us just like Jesus is now. The way that God has shown love to us is to make us just like Jesus. That as Jesus is in heaven, so are we on this earth. It is the love of God that has made him position us like that. That we are just like Jesus. So if Jesus is accepted in the heavenly kingdom, then we are also accepted right now on this earth. Hallelujah. If you believe that Jesus is the beloved Son of God, the Bible says that so are you in this world. You are also the beloved of God. It's wonderful. If Jesus, God will answer the prayers of Jesus, God will answer your prayers also. Because of what? Because as Jesus is in heaven right now, so are you in this world. The Bible says that this is the show of the love of God. This is the manifestation of the love of God. That as he is in heaven, so are we in this world. Isn't that powerful? It's one of the greatest blessings you can ever chance upon in the Bible. That just as Jesus is right now, so are you in this world. If Jesus is the righteousness of God, so are you the righteousness of God in this world. If Jesus Christ is loved by God, so are you loved in the same way right now in this world. Hallelujah. That's very powerful. Now, the question I want us to answer is, why has God shown us such a love? Why has he demonstrated love to us in this manner? The scripture contains the answer. It says, so that we will have boldness in the day of judgment. Wonderful. So that we have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. You know, I want us to understand the scripture this way. It isn't just in the end time that God is going to judge. Hallelujah. But as we go through life practically, you come to situations where God has to make a decision about you. You come to a situation where even humans have to make a decision about you. You come to a place of judgment. Every day of our lives, we come to places like that, where we ourselves are judging between what we should do or not do. Where God judges a situation in which you are. The Bible says that in the day of our judgment, we can be bold. We can be bold. Not just before the judgment throne of Christ at the end of the age, but right now, in any day of judgment in your life, you can be bold. You can have boldness that God loves you. So whatever thing that God permits to come your way, you know that it stems from His love for you. Hallelujah. Because of that, you become bold in the face of humans who are trying to judge you. You become bold in the face of circumstances that you have to decide on. In the day of judgment, in any day of judgment, whether you are the one judging, or God is the one judging, or human beings are the ones judging, once it is a day of judgment, it is a day of making a decision, you can be bold during that time. Hallelujah. You can be bold because you are conscious of the fact that God loves you and His love is going to embolden you to take the right decision. Because when you have fear, you will choose wrongly. When you have fear, you will judge wrongly. That is why the next scripture said that perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Fear will put you in a certain position that you will not be able to judge properly between what you should do, you know, and what you should not do for a particular situation. Fear will make you choose wrongly. But when you know, you walk in the consciousness of the fact that God loves you, your choices will be right. Hallelujah. Because of the love of God that constrains you, that motivates you. It is a solution, ladies and gentlemen, to all of our ailments. It is the love of God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Romans chapter 2 and then verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and then verse 4. The scripture says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The Holy Spirit is telling us something. He says that, don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Hallelujah. It is the goodness of God that should motivate you to repent. The goodness of God. That is how God does it now. In the Old Testament, it was different. In the Old Testament, you had to repent before you are shown goodness. In the Old Testament, you had to repent before you are blessed. In the New Testament, it's the opposite. You are blessed so that you will repent. You are blessed, or you are shown goodness so that what? So that you will reciprocate it with the foundation of God's love, God's goodness, and God's forbearance. And that is the way that God demonstrated to the leader of the church in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We are very familiar with the story, because in the story, Peter goes out fishing and doesn't catch anything all night long. Now, Jesus Christ comes upon the scene, uses His boat, and afterwards tells Peter that launch out into the deep, let down your net for a catch. The Greek word that is translated deep is the word that can also be translated early. In other words, God was taking Peter to the very early time in the Garden of Eden. How he can have abundant supply. How he can live as a king that we were in the first kingdom era in the garden. Look at verse 8 now. Now, Peter got so much fish that when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What made Peter say, Jesus, go away from me, I am sinful? It is the goodness of Jesus that he showed to him, giving him plenty fishes. He looked at the plenty fishes and his eyes were full of tears. He said, Jesus, I repent. In effect, that is what he was saying. Depart from me, I'm a sinful person. He was in effect saying that, Jesus, I repent. Because of what? The goodness of God, it leads us to repentance. Hallelujah. And that is what you need to understand. That is the kind of disposition you need to have, that God shows you goodness so that you repent. So if you see God's love being showered on you, He's telling you one simple message: change your ways. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes you can see good things happening to you, God blessing you, blessing your efforts, blessing your family, blessing your life, blessing your children, blessing. Does it mean that it is all well with you? It's not necessarily the case. Hallelujah. It could as well be that God is telling you, change your ways. Hallelujah. But if we don't understand this way of God, the way He is ministering to us now in the New Testament, then you are going to get everything mixed up. Hallelujah. That is why the Holy Spirit said, are you despising the riches of His goodness and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness is rather telling you to repent? Hallelujah. So God blesses you. He blesses your business. He gives you a new business. He is not saying that He likes the way that you are on necessarily. Maybe He is telling you, as He did to Apostle Peter, that you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to change. You need to grow. Hallelujah. Not stay where you are, but to grow away from it. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Luke chapter 7 whilst we are still in the book of Luke. Very powerful story. We find there a woman who loved Jesus Christ in a very dramatized, remarkable way. This is the woman who heard that Jesus was in a certain Pharisee's house, and He came to that place. She was a known sinner. She knew she was a sinner. She was a known sinner. But she brought to the Pharisee's house. This Pharisee was hosting Jesus to a meal, you know. So He comes to this Pharisee's house, and then she brings an alabaster bottle of fragrant oil. In other words, perfume. In the Middle East, they have that type of oil. It's perfume, but it's oil, you know. It's not like the one we spray and then it evaporates and all that. You know, it's fragrant oil. When I went to Dubai, somebody called me. This person had been there before, you know, was a diplomat. He called me and then he said, I should get him fragrant oil, you know, because when he was once in Dubai, he got some there and he loves it. So I went around. I could see in almost all their perfume shops, you have these perfume oil. Some of you may have seen it. But she brings along one of this, and then she cries behind Jesus, wets Jesus' feet with the tears, wipe it with the hair, you know. There's natural hair. It's not like it's a wig. It's natural, you know. So as a wig, you can do that and go and wash or something. But you see, when it's part of you, it's something else. She wipes it. She was always kissing Jesus' feet, and she anointed the feet with oil. Now, when she did that, the Pharisee said something in his heart. The Pharisee said in his heart, not verbally, that this man called Jesus, if he is really a prophet, he will know that this woman is a sinner who is doing that thing. So when Jesus Christ perceived his thought, this is what Jesus Christ said. And Jesus answered and said to him, verse 40, Luke chapter 7, verse 40, Simon, the Pharisee was called Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. Jesus now says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Jesus then turns to the woman and says, look at this woman. I came to your house. You didn't wash my feet, but she has wiped it with the tears and used it and kissed my feet. Say, you didn't give me a kiss, but she has kissed my feet. She has not ceased to kiss my feet. And you didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Middle East is very dusty, you know, very, very dusty and rocky, you know, so that if a visitor comes to your home, like we will give water for the person to drink, the first thing to do is to wash the feet of your visitor. So Jesus expected that. This Pharisee didn't do that. This woman comes from outside and comes to perform that welcome ritual for Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ says that, verse 40, 7. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Hallelujah. So this woman loved Jesus because she knew she was a big time sinner. And Jesus taught a lesson that people who know that they are sinners, or I should say, people who are forgiving much, they love me much. But people who are not forgiving much, they are forgiving them, but they are not forgiving much, the same love letter. Pastor, are you saying that among believers, there are some people who believe that God has forgiven them much and God has forgiven some also little? Yes, there are. Ladies and gentlemen, among believers, there are some people who believe they are the sons of God, but they don't believe that they are the beloved sons of God. They are not conscious of that fact, that they are the beloved. And among believers, there are some people who believe that their sins, some is forgiven, and some is yet to be forgiven. You understand that? And there are some too who believe that, hey, all of their sins have been forgiven.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, which one of these two will love God more? Those who think that they are forgiven from the time they were born till the time they accepted Jesus, and they are yet to be forgiven for the rest of their lives, depending on how they live a things like that. And those who believe that their sins, their past, from the time they were born, from the past, the present, and the future have been forgiven. They have been forgiven much. They are the people who are going to love God more, according to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I want us to have that consciousness that because of the love of God, He has taken away all of our sins. All of our sins. You know, all of the past, the present, the future sins, they are all forgiven. And they are not forgiving you even based upon your confession. They are forgiving you based upon God's love. Even whilst you didn't know you were forgiven, He forgave you and told us, go and tell the world, I have forgiven them. They should come. They shouldn't be afraid of me again. I have forgiven them everything. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins unto them, and has given us the same message of reconciliation, that God is not imputing the sins of unbelievers unto them. Imputing, do you understand what it means? He is not putting their sins on them. Input just means to take it and to put it on you. In other words, the people do the wrong thing on. They sin. Unbelievers, don't they sin? They sin. But God doesn't take their sins and put it on them. Because 2,000 years ago, He took all their sins and put it on Jesus. So He's no more imputing their sins upon them. So after the cross, we do not confess our sins to be forgiven. We confess our sins because we are forgiven. Before the cross, fine. You can say, like Jesus said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But after the cross, we forgive people because we are forgiven. The motivation for you to forgive after the cross is not to be forgiven. The motivation for you to forgive is because you are forgiven. Just as God forgave you, look at His example. He forgave you when you hadn't even confessed your sins. So He says that you look at my example of love, the love that I have for you, and let it show in the way you love other people. Hallelujah. If I didn't have to confess before God will forgive me or before God forgave me. But unknown to me, he sent his son way before I was born, and he put all my sins now on his son then, so that now that I've come, his son doesn't have to come again and come and die for me who have been born in this generation. You understand that? Because he foresaw it and he put everything on Jesus. Because of that, I should love people in the same way. He gave us an example of love so that we will love one another as he loved us, not as you love yourself. That was before the law, before the cross of Jesus. I want us to understand that we are totally forgiving people. And sometimes, let me tell you, sometimes believers, because they are not conscious of the fact that God loves them, and it is love that has made us to be forgiven. Believers find it very difficult to forgive unbelievers. Simple. They find it difficult to forgive their fellow believers because they are not strong in the fact that God loves them. And God has forgiven them unconditionally. So they struggle with forgiving their brother. And as unbelievers, it's worse. Believers have rained curses on unbelievers. You know why? Because they spoke against the church. Because they spoke against a man of God. And so you see, you come across believers. Have you come across people like that? Where I come from, I see a lot of people like that. And I tell them, look, let them go. Let them go. Forgive them. Because we cannot win them when we put curses on them. Because they derided the church. They derided a man of God. And we say, if we are the church, then let something happen. Then we go and mount a crusade that we are going to win these people, whom we have sealed already. Do you know, in the book of John chapter 20, Jesus Christ breathed on his apostles and he told them something. He says that anybody's sin that you forgive, they are forgiven. Anybody's sin that you retain, they are retained. What was Jesus saying? He was trying to tell us that, look, as for him, he has forgiven all mankind, though. But whether they are going to be forgiven or not depends upon you. In other words, whether they are going to come into that consciousness of the fact that God in heaven has forgiven them depends upon how you, the representative of God on earth, is ministering unto them. Are we ministering God's love to them the way he loved us? Or we look at their ways and say that God never bless these people. Never, never bless these people. Hallelujah. And sometimes God defies us. We say, God never bless these people. And we see that they are prospering. They are getting promotions. God never do this and things are happening to them. You better be like God. Because he has forgiven them. Don't hold people's sins and all that in your heart against them. Don't do that, because that is not how God does things towards us, towards all men. He wants all men to understand that he loves them seriously. And we have to carry that message. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Grow in that consciousness. Look at the book of Jude. Jude. And then verse 21. Jude is full of the love of God. In his scripture, he's always talking about beloved. He calls the saints beloved, beloved, beloved. That's his term, beloved, beloved. Right. So in verse 20, he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, not in the love for God. Keep yourself in the love of God. In other words, he's saying that keep yourself conscious of the fact that God loves you. Keep yourself in that love of God. Because there is an adversary, I told you in the beginning, who does not want you to know that you are the beloved son of God. He wants you to just take it that I am the child of God. I'm born again. But the beloved, he will take it aside. He doesn't want you to know that God loves you. So he says that keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The love of God is like the sea, and we have been put into the sea. But you can choose to come out of the sea and walk on the shore. So he says that keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the sea. Always swim in the sea. Keep yourself in it. Don't move out of the sea. Keep yourself in the love of God. Because that is what is going to insulate you against sin. That is what is going to make you fall in love with God. Hallelujah. That is what is going to make you forgive people without even being aware that you are forgiven. You are hardly aware that you are even hurt. It's a wonderful life. And people wonder, but this thing that this person said, wasn't he hurt? This thing, wasn't she hurt? Because you are in the sea. You are in the love of God. You are swimming in the love of God. The love, like a sea, has just encircled you. You are conscious of it. Conscious of it. Says that keep yourself, beloved. Stay there. Stay in the love of God. Stay in the full consciousness of the fact that God loves you. And the Holy Spirit is going to reveal God's love to you as a believer. Because it doesn't come instinctively to believers. It doesn't come like that. The first impression you get about God is that God is holy, not so. Yeah, that's a sinful flesh. Sinful flesh. The first consciousness you get about God is that God is holy. That is why Peter said, depart from me. I am a sinful man. Because it is cheap, so to speak, to know that God is holy. But it takes maturity. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal the love of God to you. Hallelujah. That is why walking in the consciousness of God's love for you is something that is a sign of maturity. A mature person knows that God loves him like our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody who is not very mature, his first thing is not God's love. It's what? God's holiness. God's holiness. That is why God sent his son Jesus. He sent his son Jesus to come and show us a certain thing about him. Colossians 1:13 tells us that we have been translated into the kingdom of the son of his love. Jesus is the son of God's love. If you want to know God's love, look at the son of God's love. It's like God's love has brought forth to a son, and his name is called Jesus. So if you see Jesus, he is showing us the love of God. Not even the holiness of God. Pastor, are you trying to say that Jesus Christ condones sins and all that? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to you that his mission was to show us the love of God. Not even the justice of God. If you like, go and ask the woman who was caught in adultery. Or go and ask the woman who had five husbands. The side of God. Thank you, Lord. That he wants us to see. That revelation of God that he wants us to see is his love. Other people came before Jesus did. They showed us various sides of God, except the side that God wants to show. So we had powerful prophets coming, prophesying, and saying things like, if I be a man of God, let lions come and chew you, to little children. So we had powerful prophets. They came. But last of all, God said that the people don't really know me. What they think about me is that maybe I am some wicked God. You touch me, I touch you kind of God. So I'm going to send my son. And he is going to be an express image of me. He's going to show them who I am. In John chapter 17, Jesus said, I have manifested your name. And he went on to say, I will continue. What name of God did Jesus manifest to us? What name? Jehovah Chikunu, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. Plenty Jehovahs. Ladies and gentlemen, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah this, Almighty. Jesus Christ came to manifest God's name. He says, so that they will know you. He just came to manifest God as a loving Father unto us. Hallelujah. God wants to love you. He wants you to be conscious of his love. He wants you to walk in his love. It is when you walk in the consciousness of his love that you will be a loving person. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let's end it. 1 John, whilst we are around there. 1 John 4 verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. So when it comes to your love for God, God's love for you, is it a chicken and an egg situation? No. It is clearly God loves you. That is why you can love him. Hallelujah. You want to love God, walk in the consciousness of love. Love for God will come effortlessly when you know that. That was the life of our dearest. He walked in a strong consciousness that he was a loved child of all throughout his life. As he gave his account in John 7, says that the love that you, Father, you love me, let the world see, let the people see that love them. I want them to. From today onward, I want you to focus more on God's love. When you wake up, tell God, thank you, Lord. Here wakes up your beloved. I'm loved. Say that you are loved by God. Say that because of your love, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Because of love, I'm going to be bold. Love makes us bold in any day of judgment. We are bold. When there is crisis, we are not afraid. We are bold because we God's love. Hallelujah! You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.